Coming up after the break, Mark Twain is here to preview a musical event you won't want to miss. Mark, this is the first time you've been on this radio station as Mark Twain, so tell us about Mark.
Well, the first thing that I must tell you is that that 89-year-old member of your chorus is a puppy. I am 177, so I will. I don't mind associating with younger people. I've done it all my life, and I enjoy it. I really look forward to hearing these songs again.
You were a young lad at one time.
I play piano, banjo, guitar, and I do sing, but I've never done that publicly, and I'm certainly not going to start now. Music is not my forte.
Back in your time, what was the culture like as far as music was concerned? Because people lived in big cities and some of the rural areas, like where you lived. What was it like then?
If you did not make it for yourself or have someone talented within your household, it was hard to find. We would have occasional minstrel troupes come upriver, downriver, and stop off in my hometown of Hannibal, Missouri, and I never missed a show. Whether I had the nickels for admittance or not, I somehow managed to get in. I love music. Love music.
You know, the stories about Mark Twain have lived on for centuries, and young children exposed to this, it's just a great literacy thing, isn't it?
Last 2010, there was a national great reading program proposed nationwide, which was very successful, and I was happy to have them pick Huckleberry Finn as the book to be read by everyone, and they realized that I really had something to say that was important for the centuries, not just for the time I wrote it.
Well, what was Huck Finn like, recalling him?
Well, I must tell you, Huck is a fictional character, but I grew up with a young boy in Hannibal by the name of Tom Blankenship. Now, he was my model for Huck. Tom was just exactly that way. He had a father who, unfortunately, was the champion town drunkard. His mother had taken off. Tom would not, Tom Blankenship, that is, would not spend any more time in school than he absolutely had to. All of us young boys were never supposed to go near him, according to our family, but of course we did.
Mark, you're going to be a big part of the show, so let's talk some more about what you're going to be doing.
Well, I have had some time to rehearse. I spent 4 years on the Mississippi River as a pilot. It was not an easy job. It required memorizing each and every turn, every snag, every fallen log, going downriver, and then had to memorize it backwards coming upriver, and then had to memorize it in the daytime. And at the nighttime, it's 4 different rivers.
I imagine you ran into a lot of riverboat gamblers during that time.
I encountered them, and when I was off duty, we became fairly friendly, yes.
Not going to disclose your winnings or losings at this point, then?
I don't have anything to brag about, unfortunately, but I was always solvent. Well, my goodness, toward the end of my career, just before the war between the states shut down the river, I was making $500 a month.
Pretty good, considering the translated to inflation today, I guess.
I had no money worries whatsoever. My trouble was the 2 or 3 days that I would spend at the turnaround down in New Orleans, and I don't know what happened to my money when I was down there, but I was a young man then, and I enjoyed life, and certainly I enjoyed music.
Did Mark Twain have a good singing career down in Missouri in those days?
Well, I kept my singing within the household. I knew better than to display talents that did not exist.
Guess you had to stand under a waterfall then, because you didn't have showers back then?
Oh, my goodness. We had showers. I had a younger brother with a bucket and put him on a stool, and he poured it down on me.
I guess the way to do it. You do what you have to do, I guess. Tell us some more about what you're going to be doing in the show, then maybe some things that people really get a kick out of.
Well, as a pilot of a steamboat, which had always been my ambition since boyhood, I'm going to be the pilot of this musical voyage to Dixieland. I know all these songs pretty much by heart, but they're not going to let me sing. I'm going to tell a story or two from time to time, and I'm going to relate how we used to live along the river and in other parts of Dixieland to the songs that are coming. Now, Dixieland is a large area. Mr. Mason and Mr. Dixon told us that it's everything south of that line they drew. So here in Florida, we're south of that line. This is part of Dixieland.
We definitely are. And even though we have the skyscrapers today in our major city south of the Mason-Dixon line, we're still in that same genre.
Thank goodness. Now, I do not know what has happened to the pronunciation of English here in Florida. It's changed. I used to sound perfectly at home here with my way of speaking, but there are not too many people like that anymore.
Seems like the Boston accent, New York accent sort of changes things, doesn't it?
Boston is a wonderful town, but they certainly have a strange way of speaking English.
Got a couple minutes left here in the program, but wanted to give Mark Twain a chance to sort of promote his own website and introduce Rod Rawlings and portraying Mark Twain, just incredible voice, facial resemblance and everything else here in the studio today. But let's find out more about your website and where people can learn more about you.
Well, Chuck, there's a website called marktwainperforms.com. And you can have a look at this character that most of America remembers and still loves all these years later. MarkTwainPerforms.com. It's that simple.
A real pleasure, Rod and Mark, to have you on the program today. It's a real treat.
My pleasure indeed.
Special thanks to Rod Rawlings as Mark Twain.